Ephesians chapter 5, please, in your Bibles. Made my way there to Ephesians chapter 5. If you'll follow with me in the text, in Ephesians chapter 5, beginning in verse 1, I'm reading from the New King James Version. Ephesians 5, beginning in verse 1, Paul writes, "To the saints of God in Christ, in Ephesus and throughout that region." And he says, therefore, Ephesians 5 in verse 1, "Be imitators of God as dear children, and walk in love. Walk in love as Christ has also loved us and has given Himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling aroma." But fornication, Ephesians 5 and verse 3, "and all uncleanliness or covetousness, let it not even be named among you as is fitting for saints, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor coarse jesting, which are not fitting, but rather the giving of thanks. For this you know," Ephesians 5 and verse 5, "you know that no fornication, no unclean person, nor covetous man, who is an idolater, has any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. Let no one deceive you with empty words. For because of these things, the wrath of God comes upon the sons of disobedience. Therefore, do not be partakers with them," the sons of disobedience. "For you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it is shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are made manifest by the light. For whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore," he says, "awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time, because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is." The Apostle Paul exhorted these saints with regards to their walk. And so what he said in verse 2 is he said, "You walk in love." What he said in verse 8 is, "You walk as children of light." What he said in verse 15 is, "You walk circumspectly," or "You walk accurately." The New Testament, ladies and gentlemen, the Word of God is filled with passages that speak to us as saints in Jesus Christ with regard to our walk. The way that we live our lives in this world. Good morning and welcome to all who are here, especially those, again, that are visiting with us. We have several that are visiting with us, and we again say to you this morning, welcome, and we are glad that you are with us this morning in this place. The Lord lets us be together again at 5 o'clock this afternoon. We will assemble here in this place in His name. Look forward to that time for us to be together in worship today at 5. Looking forward to Brother Eric Hellinger. He will be speaking to us and preaching to us today at 5 o'clock. How's your walk? I think that is an appropriate question, and I think one that was oftentimes asked, maybe not in the exact language, but the manner in which you're living, the way that I am living, how is it? As I said, the New Testament is filled with passages that use the language of walk. In Romans chapter 6 and verse 4, we are to walk as children in Christ Jesus. We are to walk in newness of life. Our life takes on new direction. Romans chapter 13, verse 13, we are to walk properly, that is, honestly, decently, as is in the language of Ephesians 5, fitting and proper for those who are holy ones, saints. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 7, walk by faith. Galatians 5 and verse 16, walk in the Spirit. That is, according to what the Holy Spirit has revealed in the Word. Ephesians 4, as I noted, and verse 1, or Ephesians 5 and verse 2, walk in love. Ephesians 4 and verse 1, walk worthy of the calling. Colossians 1 and verse 10, walk worthy of the Lord. Colossians 4 and verse 5, walk in wisdom toward those who are outside. That is, walk wisely before an unsaved world. There is a reason, ladies and gentlemen and my brethren, that the Scripture references our walk so often. John says it this way in 1 John 2 and verse 6. The one who says he abides in Christ ought also himself to walk in the same manner as Christ walked. How did Christ live? How did Christ walk? How did Christ conduct himself while he was on the earth? As a follower of Christ, that is the way I am to walk. And so we sing the song, "Oh, to be like thee, blessed Redeemer." We could substitute and say, "Oh, to walk like thee, blessed Redeemer." This is my constant longing in prayer. Gladly I'll forfeit all of earth's treasures, Jesus, thy perfect likeness to wear. That just means you live the way Christ lived. And you walk as He walked. And maybe it's for that reason, in the context of Ephesians chapter 5, that Paul says, having mentioned the walk as, again, children of light, Ephesians 5 and verse 8, he describes the fruit of that walk, the evidence of that way of living. And he describes it in terms of goodness, righteousness, and truth. Think about that. Walking as children of light. And he says the fruit of light is found in all that is good and all that is right and all that is true. Do those three terms describe your walk? Good, right, true. And he says, now, finding out or discerning what is really pleasing to the Lord. Now I want you to think about that as it connects itself together in Ephesians 5, 8, 9, and 10. The walk is children of light, and it's described as a good, righteous, truthful walk. And those who are in close association and fellowship with God through Christ, described as children of light, those are the kinds of individuals that are interested in knowing what really is going to please the Lord. So in every action, in every decision, in my daily walk, I ought to ask myself, if I do this, if I go here, is it really going to please the Lord? Is it really going to please the Lord? I'll tell you what I think the true motivation of children in light should be. The true motivation of children of light is to be less and less of, this is how I have to live in order to go to heaven, and more of, this is how I want to live because I want to please my Heavenly Father and imitate the Christ who died for me. And that's children of light. I just want to find out what is pleasing to the Lord. So being described as children of light, in terms of a walk in love, in terms of a walk that is an accurate, circumspect kind of walk, careful how we live. Let's note three things in the context of Ephesians 5 with regards to our walk in light as it pertains to our view with regards to darkness or sin. Children of light cannot participate in what is dark. Children of righteousness cannot participate in what is unrighteous, what is sinful. Again, listen to the language. Sexual immorality, Paul says again, verses 3, 4, and 5 of the context of Ephesians 5. Sexual immorality, all impurity or covetousness, must not even be named among you, as is fitting or proper for saints. Let there be no filthiness. Let there be no foolish talk or crude or coarse joking or jesting, because these are out of place. For you may be sure of this, he says. You may be sure of this, that everyone who is sexually immoral or impure or who is covetous, that is, an idolater, has any inheritance. You may be sure that they have no inheritance in the kingdom of God in Christ. He doesn't chronicleize every sin. He mentions certain sins. But what he says of these certain sins with regards to sexual conduct, with regards to our tongue, with regards to various appetites, what he says with regards to these sins have their application in regards to all sin. And Paul says, it's not to be named among you. Those of you who profess to be saints, holy ones in Christ, these sins or any sins should not even exist among my people. It's not proper. The reason it ought not to exist is because it doesn't fit the profession of one who claims to be set apart to serve God. Setting himself above, not wanting to give himself over to sin. It doesn't fit the character or the conduct of one in Christ. And so, it's to have no place. It just doesn't fit. There have been times, very few I will acknowledge, that I would go to my wife having put something on, maybe a particular tie, and I would say, does this match? And she knows what I'm asking. She's asking, does it fit? Does it look good with the jacket or the blazer? And there are times when she says, no, it doesn't fit. It's not proper. Now, maybe she's saying, it doesn't look good on you. There is a slight comparison. What the Lord is saying to us as saints is He's saying, any sin, that doesn't fit you. It doesn't look good. It's shameful to you when you participate in it and claim to be a follower of mine, and it brings shame upon me. It brings shame upon the church. It just doesn't fit. It's out of place, he said. It's inconsistent with the life of a Christian. It's not possible for the church of Jesus Christ to stand out and recommend the will of God to others if the church is a moral mess. Maybe that's why the Apostle Paul reminds us in writing to Titus. He reminds us as saints in Christ in Titus chapter 2 and verse 10. We are to adorn the teaching of God our Savior in all things. He's saying, you who are saints, you make the teaching of Christ attractive in every area of your life. But note again, as we're talking about participation, as we're talking about joining in with others who are sinning, sharing our sins with others and letting others share their sins with us, remember how we began in Ephesians 5. Paul says now, as dear children of God in Christ, you, as imitators of God, walk how? In what? Ephesians 5, verse 2. In love. As Christ has also loved you and given Himself as a sacrifice for you. And so He's describing the way that we are to love. And the way that He describes our love is measuring it with the strength of Christ's love. What He's saying about Christ's love is Christ demonstrated His love by sacrificing and giving Himself for you and for all men for the salvation of all men. Now look at your life. Look at your walk. And here's my point. How am I walking in love if I'm asking someone to join me in sinning? It's still the case. And I tell you, it's not of God. It's of the devil. And it's still the case that you hear people say, if you really loved me, you would participate in this with me. And Paul mentions the various sexual sins. He said it's not to even exist. You aren't to participate in these kinds of sexual sins as children of light. When you walk in love, you're not saying to someone, join with me in this sin and show by sinning with me how much you love me. You see how the devil works in that? That's not love. It's lust. And giving into that lust, it produces in us some various sexual sins. And Paul is very frank as an apostle, and he says that's not walking in love. And how am I walking in love? By participating in the very sins that Christ went to the cross to die for. Any sin, not just the sexual sins. Sharing this lie with me. That's not love to ask someone to do that. Don't participate. Number two, Paul says, don't associate with the darkness. Therefore, do not become partakers, he says, Ephesians 5 and verse 7. Do not become partakers with them. Take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, verse 11, but instead expose them. Don't partner up. Don't join with them. Don't have the desire to connect yourself with those who persist in their sins. There's two questions that the Apostle Paul asked the Corinthians. You can find both questions in the context of 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 14 through 18. But I'm going to give you the two questions asked by the Apostle Paul to the saints in Christ, Corinth. Question number one, Paul asks, what partnership has righteousness with lawlessness? Good question. What partnership does righteousness have with lawlessness? And question number two, what fellowship has light with darkness? And it's in the context of those two questions that the Apostle Paul said, therefore. Therefore, come out from among them, the workers of darkness, those who are filled with evil and immorality. Therefore, come out from among them, and you be separate, and do not touch what is unclean. You separate yourselves from the darkness as children of light. And God makes a promise. As He made a promise to the physical nation of Israel, now He makes a promise to the spiritual Israel in Christ. And He says, I will then be a father to you, and you will be my children. I fear too often that too many in the church today are not simply separating themselves from darkness. It may be that we're investigating when we should be fleeing. It may be that we're curious when rather we should be more cautious. It may be that we're deceived rather than determined, in the language of Ephesians 5 and verse 10, to truly find out what is really pleasing to the Lord. And so Paul says, as children of light, our walk cannot be a walk that associates, that partners up with, and joins together with those who continue to practice what is sinful, who remain in the darkness. And number three, Paul says, don't tolerate. Don't participate, don't associate, and don't tolerate the darkness. Now I will tell you, this is a heavy responsibility. You thought the heaviness was in the language of don't participate. If you thought the heaviness was simply in the language of don't associate, here's the heaviness. Because I fear at times in my life, while I was not associating or participating in what is sinful, I wasn't joining in it, I didn't want to have a part with it, I wasn't really speaking out against it. People really didn't know where I stood. I knew I shouldn't be involved in it because all who participate, Paul's quite clear, have no inheritance of the kingdom of God in Christ. You can't go to heaven. You can't be eternally saved in Christ if you persist in these sins. But the Apostle Paul takes it up a notch. And he says, children of light who walk in love and in honesty, will expose at times the darkness. And so the language of Ephesians 5 verse 11 again, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but it doesn't stop there. But rather, instead, expose them. Reprove. At times, confront the evildoer. If he won't come to the light, the one living in darkness, if he won't come to the light, then seek to take the light to him. It takes moral courage to expose the deeds of darkness. And I think what the Apostle Paul is saying is children of light by their very nature cannot remain neutral. You are either on the side of light, demonstrating the light, or you're on the side of darkness. Either by way of living in the darkness, or by way of simply being silent with regards to the darkness of sin. What about you? Are you seeking to reprove and expose what is darkness? Or are you communicating a message honestly? Am I communicating a message with others that the Lord's indifferent to this kind of conduct? The Lord doesn't really care about this. Don't forget a passage I cited in the beginning this morning from Colossians chapter 4. Since we're talking about our walk, Paul says, walk in wisdom toward those who are outsiders. There's a way to communicate what is right in a spirit of care and concern and wisdom. If I'm to walk as Jesus walked, people need to know where I stand. If I'm to live as Jesus lived, people need to know where I stand. People need to know that I care because the Lord cares about how we live this side of eternity. Don't participate. Don't associate. And don't tolerate what is darkness or sin. We are to be light in the world. And we must walk as children of light. It was some time ago when Amy and I had gone. I was to speak later that evening, and we had gone out to eat. And I think it was at a Chili's. I know it was hot sauce. And if it's possible for me to do it, I'm going to do it. And I got hot sauce on my white shirt. Amy said, "Don't worry about it." She reached in her purse and she said, "I've got a Tide-to-go stick." At that time, I had no idea what that was. But when she said, "It'll take it out," I said, "Let me have it." And I took the Tide-to-go stick and I got my white shirt and I just started rubbing it on there. And it came out. I bought a Tide-to-go stick with me, and I carry it with me in my briefcase wherever I go in a meeting. It wasn't long after that I was somewhere, and guess what I did? Got something else on my white shirt. Guess what I had? My Tide-to-go stick. And I reached in my pocket. When we had finished eating, I reached in my pocket and I got that Tide-to-go stick and I pulled out my shirt and I rubbed it on there really good. And guess what didn't happen? It didn't come out. And that was my favorite shirt. One time the stain came out. And another time, the stain didn't come out. Did I say that was my favorite shirt? I threw the shirt away. And I felt okay because I could buy another shirt. There's only one thing that can take away the stain of sin. And it will remove the stain of sin every time. And that's the blood of Jesus. But if you're trying to deal, and if I'm trying to deal with my sin in any way other than, "Lord Jesus, save me and forgive me of my sins," it's not going to work. And we're not talking about a shirt. We're talking about souls. And so every time, I'm convinced the Apostle Paul would speak about the darkness and the deception of sin and the consequence of eternal destruction of one who dies in their sin. The Apostle Paul, as a dealer in hope, would remind people that Jesus Christ came and He gave His life and He shed His blood to remove the stain of sin. And maybe you've forgotten that. Or maybe this morning there's someone who's never thought seriously about that. And I would have you to understand this morning that God has proven to you His love, His matchless love, by sending His Son Jesus to die for you, to help you with your sin, to cleanse you and to forgive you of your sin. And He waits for you to come to Him this morning and to trust Him with your soul. To say, "I cannot save myself. Lord Jesus, save me. And by faith, I make my appeal from a pure conscience before You. And I trust You by being obedient to the call of the gospel that You will make good on Your promise to cleanse me and to save me of my sins. And so I come confessing in You. I come confessing my sins. And I come in penitent faith to be immersed in water, to be baptized for the remission of my sins. Cleanse me of my stain, O God. And God will do that this morning. But you must humble yourself this morning in trusting faith and bring your sin and your soul and your life to Jesus the Christ who gave His life for you. And if we can help you this morning to do that, to come clean in any way, come to Christ. We want to help you while together we stand and while we sing.
To the call of love, Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us lift a call of love. On the road to the goal, burdens we must bear, but we have help from realms above. We receive courage new when we kneel in prayer. Let us listen to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us heed the call of love. While we tarry below, there is work to do, and our strength cometh from above. As we labor and wait, we must all be true. Let us lift to the call of love. Zion's call is ringing, coming from the throne above. While we hear it ringing, let us heed the call of love.
Like it's been said before, it's really great to see everyone out this morning. If Lord wills, we'll meet again this evening at 5 p.m. We'll now be led into closing prayer.
Let's bow together. Our Father in heaven above, we have truly been blessed to be here today to worship You, to study Your Word. We are so blessed, Father, because You have made us Your children. You've made us Your beloved children. You love us so much that You sent Your Son to redeem us, to show us the way so that we might be more like You each day, to be imitators of You. Help us, Father, to walk the path laid by Christ so that we might live with You for all eternity. Help us to conduct ourselves in thought, in action, in words, so that we would shine to the world about us, so that others will see You through us and our lives that we live. We thank You, Father, for blessing us so richly. We continue our petition, Father, for the Rogers family, the Smiths, and the Wirtzes, that You would bless them as only You can. We pray, Father, also for the widows in our number, that You would heal them, give them peace, comfort, faith, We pray for those who suffer illness, Father, who haven't been mentioned, that you would bless them and heal them as well. We pray that you would be with those who suffer the afflictions from aging, Father. Give them strength and stronger faith in you. Be with us as we leave here. Help us to be children of light. In your Son's holy name we pray. Amen.